Some people say the Illuminati don't exist. Well, I mean, this is an official document
from the Raoul Marquis Lodge, and leaves no doubt that the Illuminati not only exist, but they practice what is known as the primitive rite of Memphis and Mizraim, which is the Egyptian rite. This rite brings them above the 33 degrees, because the Memphis and Mizraim goes until the 99 degrees. And it's basically the peculiarity of this rite that, for me, made it a difficulty to stay in the Illuminati, because this rite, on the contrary of the others, that, okay, are corrupted politically, they have a political, but this one is completely diabolic in its own internal belief system, and leads many of his members to become involved in Satanism. In fact, for example, heads of the Memphis and Mizraim in Italy, like Roberto Negrini, is involved in a satanic, anti-Christian Ordo Tempi Orientis Fraternitas Hermetica Luciferiana, or there is many others like him in America that have, like Michael Bertiò, been involved in Satanism, and also close to Anton LaVey, I found a lot of other characters here in Europe that practice the Memphis and Mizraim. Here in Sweden,
isn't this
for
the
example,
Bush? The Bush family also involved in the Illuminati and Satanism?
Sure, sure. Each one is involved with their own orders, their own lodges, their own degree systems. The Skull and Bones have their own operational way of working, their own legends, the Knights of Euluga, a specific kind of initiation where you have the devil, Don Quixote and the Pope. That should already tell you who are really the figures here that are in charge of the real power, because the Pope is sitting on the center, and even if George Bush likes to dress up as Popey when he's down at the Skull and Bones, he's not the Pope. So, and he's not the devil.
Okay, but is the Pope the devil?
No, yeah, these are different characters that actually are enacted during the initiation of the Skull and Bones.
Right, and also at Bohemian Grove as
well. Bohemian Grove is a different kind of initiation. There they like to dress up in even more fancy clothes, usually Republicans, a lot of whores, a lot of prostitution goes on during the nights of Bohemian Grove.
A fake sacrifice ceremony or a real sacrifice?
Real sacrifice is at times when you have the most secretive operations that are aimed for, in some way, maintaining the real occult path of the structure, which is of worshipping an owl, of St. John of Nepok, this old character from Bohemia. And why Bohemia is so important? Well, Bohemia, because then you have also from Bohemia, you have Jacob Boheme, who was himself one of the most illustrious Rosicrucians of all time.
Right, but the point of it is worldly success, is it not?
Worldly success,
Of Bohemian Grove, what is their purpose?
The point for all these clubs is different. And it's created by the people who actually have created them, and then the people on top who manipulate them for their own purpose. Whatever is the purpose. For example, is to blackmail people, their practices might be very twisted. If it is to create a fraternal bond of death, like the Order of Death in the Skull and Bones, then a human sacrifice is required to melt that bond together, so those people feel connected by a secret that is impossible
and
to
reveal. And who becomes sacrificed in this situation? Is it a child?
Now, what happens in the Illuminati by their own instructions is an ancient practice that was also done by the rabbis, the most orthodox rabbis in ancient times in Israel. And this is to create a fetus and sacrifices amongst the members of the congregation and eat this fetus.
Really?
So this is really what also Crowley described in the higher degrees of his Ordo Tempi Orientis, and what is practiced, as I said, comes from an old also Jewish practice, but where did they take this kind of practice? These practices are born from ancient times, from their captivity in Babylonia to their permanence in Egypt. Egypt is the example of what the Illuminati are. Now, I will show you also, later, a picture of how the lodge is here in Oslo.
We went there.
You went?
Yes.
Okay, but inside. I have a picture of the temple inside.
Okay, very good. Yes, we were not allowed inside.
What I can tell you about the temple inside is they are called a Christian Masonic order. Okay? Mm-hmm. There are only Christians in. Many Freemasons around the world are actually horrified by the fact that here in Scandinavian Freemasonry can be so racistic that can't include the Jews, the Hindu, the Muslims, because of their own Christian order of Knights Templars, because that's what they claim to be. You saw their cross in the symbol when you went to the headquarters, the lion, and a red cross and all that.
But you're saying that this is, so this
inside,
is an emphasis
though, the emphasis outside is on Christianity. But if you go inside their temple, on top you will notice this symbol.
Sure.
That is nothing of Christian origin. You will notice that the temple inside, what is the Swedish rite, one of the most esoteric and most occult rites of Freemasonry, which is practiced here in Norway, it's practiced in the whole of Scandinavia. So that means Norway, Sweden, Denmark, also practice in part of Germany, practice in Iceland, and also in parts of Finland. This specific rite, the Swedish rite, horrified me by their hypocrisy, because on one side they portray themselves as good Christians to the community, on the other side they are practicing pagan beliefs, which are completely incompatible with the belief in one God. That's why Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, came. Because the Christians were already worshipping gods. They left the true path of Jesus already seven centuries after Jesus came. The Christians were already worshipping other things, including them with Christianity, having a wrong perception of Christianity. The same with the Jews. They started to worship something different when Moses went just up the mountain. But why? Because it's a tendency in humankind to have the worship for these entities that can give you terrestrial power. We were talking about Anunnaki, we were talking about Nephilim, but there is these entities come from other dimensions, other places in this universe. They can cross over into this dimension if we evoke them, if we call them, and also the weak, the ill, the sick of mind, as described by Eliphas Levi in the book of Transcendental Magic, they can become easily possessed by these demons and become their zombies in a way. That's why also we have the zombie character, which is created in voodoo. They give him a very strong poison that completely burns the brain of the character and makes him possessed by this entity.
Well, this is also mind control, is it not?
It's mind control. But that's why you will find that most of the people in the mind control sectors of the intelligence units, the people who are taking control of the psyops operations, they are occultists. Because occultism and black magic is the most ancient form of military tool known to mankind from the ancient times.
So this is, to manipulate.
And also this is pharaonic. I'm against, in June 2006, participated first to a meeting in Monte Carlo on the 1st of June. Then I went to San Cerbone on the 2nd and 3rd of June. I was in San Cerbone, a monastery near Lucca. And then after that, I left and went to Livorno, and at the Military Academy of Livorno, I had a very illuminating meeting with Giorgio Ugo Balestrieri at the Military Academy, because he's a military, he's part of the naval, of the military. I was with him for a whole day after a long time that we knew each other. I really understood what these people were up to. It was illuminating for me to understand that they were totally taking advantage of me, and that this time they wanted me to infiltrate the organization of my wife. My wife is part of a Muslim organization that was co-founded by his father, and they know that this organization is a very big organization, very powerful, it counts millions of adepts, and for that reason they wanted me, and also it's a moderate Muslim school, the connection for them was too strong and too tempting. They wanted to use me in order to infiltrate this Muslim organization that is especially powerful in Turkey. And they are very interested in Turkey for various reasons. For that, Giorgio Balestieri has been with another guy called Can Soyak, which is a Turkish Freemason.
Well, what's,
very big
what's
in
the
New York.
Purpose? Why is Turkey of such interest?
Very important for the control of the whole Caucasus region, for the all the ex-Soviet republics, Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, all this side of things is actually now pretty much under the control of Turkey, because Turkey was able, after the fall of the Soviet Union, to build schools, to build a link with these republics, that some of them have also oil, and for that reason it's very important that you have the control of a very rich area, and very tactical, very important for the Americans, for the New World Order to be in control. For that reason, in 2000, it was, I think, April 2000, and I don't know if it was 2005 or 2006, when they came together with a special group of Illuminati meeting in Ankara, in Turkey, under the Rotary Club. So this meeting is recorded, you can go and check it out, with Commandante Giorgio Ugo Balestieri did an invocation to the One God and whatever, he was covering up everything with a nice veil of we are doing it for peace between religions, for but in reality what? The guy is selling weapons, the guy is making money, the guy is interested in northern Iraq, the guy is interested in, because also there is northern Iraq, you have Turkey there. You have a lot of interest, and Giorgio Ugo Balestieri has been personally involved in dealing with northern Iraq and making business in northern Iraq with
cancer. Okay, the Vatican must also be interested in oil if they're interested in weapons.
Oil is fundamental. It's oil, weapons, and that's it. And then you have the banks. So oil and weapons are of fundamental. I didn't mention the oil until now because I thought that was
obvious, right?
Obvious. But the whole fact that they went to Iraq is just to take them their oil and in Afghanistan to have control over
Okay, but what about free energy? Heroin. What about free energy? Because are you aware of free energy? Do you know what it is?
Sure.
And the Vatican is basically keeping hold of this scientific knowledge so that it doesn't get dispersed, so that people don't get really
free
from oil.
Yeah, but let me tell you why. The thing is that this problem started, as I said, with Giordano Bruno nearly 400 years, more than 400 years ago, and that problem was that certain physical, but also metaphysical knowledge, scientific knowledge, that could revolutionize humankind, could not be manifested on humankind without creating also a change in their belief system.
Right.
So
the Catholic Church would no longer be in power. The Illuminati would not be necessary, right? If you don't depend on them economically, you're not materially, you're not tied to them spiritually.
Absolutely.
Either, right?
The fact that they have control over certain things and that you are consuming those things is essential for this materialistic society that we have in place. This materialistic society is a reflection of the end of time scenario of the Kali Yuga, the last part of the Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga, this specific time frame described in the Hindu mythology, is a very dark period in which there is very little light, very few masters to be seen on the horizon. René Guénon himself, a very great initiate of Freemasonry, of the Illuminati, abandoned everything and became a sheikh and went to Cairo and became Muslim, alhamdulillah. Why? Because there was a reason. He had to save himself for what he had been involved. In fact, I invite everybody to read René Guénon, because even if he's a great traditionalist, in a way, he was Catholic, but then he transformed himself for a reason. He saw what they were doing in the occult. He saw the corruption in the church and in all these groups that were surrounding the church. And for example, today, we have Gnostic churches that claim to have some apostolic succession going back to the time of Christ. They are all under the control of the Vatican.
Even the Gnostics.
all the Gnostics. I can give you information, very detailed information about how the Vatican and the Jesuits keep an eye on all the Gnostic movements, on every wandering bishop, people like Stefan Heller that I met personally. They are completely subject to the Vatican and to Freemasonry, being himself a 32-degree Freemason, Stefan Heller. And he represents one of the biggest Gnostic traditions these days in the United States. Hmm. Bishop Heller, yeah, he does how it is, a very kind of Germanic cult, yeah. But he wants himself, he's really typical Illuminati scum. If I have to say scum, it's scum. Because these people are Nazis. Their approach is Nazi, but it's camouflaged in a way that they're always pro-Jewish. So they're, no, but we support Israel. They can't be. But they are, in reality, Nazi. And Israel itself is acting as a Nazi because of them, you know.
Right. So how does Zionism play into this? Because you're not talking about the Jewish people only. You're talking about Zionism as a religion, right?
I don't have anything against the Jewish people because myself I have close relatives, even Jews. I don't have problem with the Jewish people. The Jewish people are actually chosen by God for a specific purpose. That's not the ultimate...
How does Zionism play into the whole Illuminati story?
The religion of Abraham got corrupted during the course of time. Certain families got corrupted. And they also mingled with the Vatican for 2,000 years in Rome. They have been the most, most ancient Jewish community in Rome. In this picture, we're talking about the Jews, their great influence, their great power, and they really have great power. Even in the oligarch movement in Russia, they're very powerful. In this picture, we have here Senator Sergei Gurdjieff, famous Russian billionaire, senator, close friend of Vladimir Putin, and one of the, also my close friends for a time, because he was the representative of the Illuminati, of the Gruppo di Ur, in Moscow, and one of the senior intelligence operatives at all levels regarding the research of the Holy Grail and all that matters for the Russian government. He gave me a gift, which after I would like to show you, which is a mask brought from Tibet.
Illuminati gift. The Illuminati likes to give this kind of gift. Ancient artifacts, this kind of stuff. And this peculiar artifact was very interesting because it was given by the 13th Dalai Lama as a gift to Nikolai II, the Tsar of Russia, because their intention was to subject Nikolai II to the Illuminati control of Tibet. Because the Tibetan monks, are the Illuminati of the East. And they are seen as the Illuminati of the East. This mask was given to me as a gift by Senator Sergei Gurdjieff, which I showed you before in the picture earlier on.
Uh-huh, yes.
Senator of the Russian Federation and famous Russian billionaire.
Right.
And kind of Indiana Jones of the situation. He likes to go and find this kind of thing. But actually this was given, if I don't get it wrong, to his uncle, who was at the time mediating for the conversion of Nikolai II to the 13th Dalai Lama. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. We all know how things went then in Russia. But we managed to preserve this famous artifact, and to bring it out of Russia in 2002 was quite an adventure. I tell you.
Thanks God. It's very powerful.
It's very powerful. One motivation, I ask Sergei, why are you giving me such a gift? I mean, it's a quite incredible gift of historical value. Obviously for him, maybe, but it was very important. I think that the Russians really want to get rid of it. Because apparently it has it's connected to a very powerful entity that it transports it with it, and it has the power of emanate it. And the Russians basically want to get out of the borders.
I see. So did you purge it?
So, well, I myself obviously have to be very careful with it and with the use of it. But definitely it's under my close surveillance, and I have it. So that's okay. It, you know, I'm going to keep it.
Okay.
It's a very peculiar mask, very peculiar. The 14th Dalai Lama, the present Dalai Lama, used it when he has his own divinator who went into trance with this mask before the Chinese arrived to and warned them to go away. So in a way, saved the life of Dalai Lama. This tradition, as we were saying, is part of the Bon tradition, is the shamanic tradition of Tibet, which is more ancient than the Buddhist tradition. But it's said to be dominated by the Buddhist and by the red caps of Tibet.
In the middle we have a Jew, Lazarus. Lazarus is, his wife is the head of basically the customs in Russia, so you can't get in Russia without the wife of, she's the head of all customs operating, especially in Moscow. And he himself, an oligarch, working for the oligarchs, is of Georgian origin, but he's a Jew. And he explained me how the Jews literally transformed themselves into the aristocracy of the communist establishment and managed to survive also the persecution of Stalin if they simply worked with the establishment in a certain way. Nowadays, they're very strong. But, for example, Senator Sergei Gurdjieff officially objects the Zionists. But when this other guy here gave him a $900,000 watch in front of my eyes, he accepted it. And why, you say, why a senator from the Russian Federation should accept such a gift? Because corruption in Russia is made with watches. There is $1 million watches. Once I had three of them on my table. And they're used for corruption by the Illuminati so they can keep on their oligarchy and all their practices.
So, but why? What, how does Zionism serve the Illuminati's interest? You're talking about their vision of Armageddon because it is written so in the Bible?
Absolutely. The Zionism, you see, is a corrupt branch of what is really the religion of Abraham. That was already corrupt for a long time and tried to, with Zionism, especially coming out of Ukraine, to gather power. But the Zionist families, like for example the Rothschilds, who have been so important for the implementation of Zionism, are themselves also working linked to the Vatican, because they are Knights of Malta. So you will say, how is possible? Zionism and the Vatican, it doesn't really fit in. One should oppose the other. While publicly it might seem so, in reality they are completely connected. And I think that John Paul II made this quite evident when he called them our oldest brothers and embraced with so much love the rabbi in Rome, which I repeat, Rome is the oldest Jewish community in the world, so connected to Rome you have also this. And they worked for the Vatican. I saw Mossad agents in Rome from the Sonnino family, which I used to work with, involved with La Banda della Magliana, which was this fearsome gang of people involved with the P2, with the intelligence service, killers that were doing all kinds of weapons, cocaine, heroin, all kinds of business with them. And they were receiving every year a letter from Andreotti, which is a senior Democrat Christian, very well known in the Atlantic Pact, in the NATO. Andreotti is one of the key people in Italy, also as a politician still nowadays. He has been prime minister for many times, and he was is a senior Opus Dei and P2 member. But working with these people, I saw the power of the Zionist establishment. For example, George Hugo Balestrieri wanted to do a Isaac Rabi award, and I said, why? But because under the influence of the Zionistic element that is always there. And they like to go in Jerusalem, they have a specific place under what is the Temple of Solomon. Still nowadays they do this practice. They have a high priestess of Melchizedek. Now this high priestess is not really a woman, it's a man-woman. He's a priest, there used to be a man and a priest and a monk, I think, working for the Vatican. He's one of the biggest experts of the Bible. He's now called Michela Mercenaro. He had a sex change, approved by the Vatican. Now she is working in some kind of university officially. In reality, she's working also for the police in their investigations in the occult and occult murders, but she is the high priestess of Melchizedek of the Order of Zion and celebrates these occult rituals in Jerusalem with the elite there. And her function is to be androgyn, because half man, half woman, mm-hmm. She can have this. Zionist element is working, at times it has been opposing the Vatican, but at the end has decided, especially after the Second World War, to merge, and it couldn't be otherwise, because after the Second World War the Vatican became an American club. Also the Freemasons didn't exist inside the Vatican as lodges, but after the Second World War they were granted four lodges, a whole Grand Lodge set up in the Vatican with their own different lodges, with an official charter coming from America, you know.
Okay.
So the thing is, there was obviously an embracing also from the Vatican of what they have always embraced, which has been to be themselves head of these aristocratic families, themselves also involved with the Zionist families. Why? Because they were the bankers, so there had to be somebody who had to sponsor other people. There was a bank, and the bank is a very important thing for the Vatican. In fact, the Yor, la finanza dello Yor, the finances of the Yor, are fundamental for the Vatican. And we go back to the disinformation of before, Secretum Omega. Why is so important that people have to realize that the Vatican is hiding something? But what is actually the Vatican hiding? The Vatican is hiding books and important rituals of evocation.
What about the third secret of Fatima? Is the Vatican hiding this or no?
The thing is this, the Vatican constructs miracles for their own purpose, to establish a place where people go, spend money on hideous things like little cross, make cash, a couple of holy waters, then so you have Lourdes, Fatima, then you have Padre Pio now.
So in other words, it's just a show to make money. There is no real secret?
No, there is secret that at times these people have been in contact with entities, okay? Or they have opened an interdimensional door with an entity that has come through and has revealed them certain secrets. For them, certain things, certain prophecies are very important, because at times, and that's why the Jesuits are in Mount Graham also with their astronomical observatory, they have to calculate exactly, because they want to avoid sometimes that the prophecy comes against them in any way. If the prophecy becomes enemy of their own project, then at that point that prophecy has to be scrapped off the map. The people that the prophecy can't come into being. Why? Because they are there making sure that that kid, if it's born that day, dies. Why? Because that kid will be an enemy of their order. And it's already for them, so there has been...
Who is the Black Pope?
Black Pope is the general of the Jesuits. As I said, his power is very strong because the sieve, as we mentioned before, is just a small creation of what is the Jesuit intelligence apparatus, which is very important.
Okay, but who is he specifically? What's his name?
Adolf Nicholas is the Black Pope now, is known.
Okay, and is he going to be the Black Pope of Revelation?
No. Then you have the Black Pope of Revelation. That doesn't need to be... There is a confusion here. There is always an element of confusion. And why?
Certainly.
Because when you have two elements, then you usually choose the wrong one, and the right one gets left untouched. So everybody is focused, the Black Pope of Revelation is the Black Pope of the Jesuits. Me personally, which I know the Jesuits very well, as I have demonstrated, and as I know the Freemason very well, and the whole apparatus, I can tell you that the Black Pope is not the general, it is the general of the Jesuits, and it's very important, but he's not the one of Revelation, because the one of Revelation is black. He's from Nigeria. He's already a cardinal. He's already been put in the post that used to be of Ratzinger. He's already there, ready to become the next pope.
And his name is?
I used to remember his name, but I'm sorry, it's hard to get names sometimes.
but
it's very easy to find.
What is his role in 2012? Is this the year of Revelation, 2012?
The important thing is that they reflect the prophecies, they make them happen for their own advantage. Now, the Jesuits, with their own Black Pope, which is obviously the figure of the Jesuit general, which is very important, I never underestimate that figure, because it's a very important one, as sometimes powerful as the Pope, because they have been so important as an order, because they have the esoteric knowledge, and they have the knowledge and access to those interdimensional doors. That's why How come, I mean, it's very natural here. How come the Jesuit is in an astronomical observatory in Mount Graham in Arizona, or is in the library in the Vatican? What is taking, if you can't check a book in the secret archive of the Vatican because they are there protecting it. At the same time, they are in charge of an observatory. This should make it very clear that when they deliberately spread through this guy, Barbaro, this disinformation regarding the Secretum Omega and Planet X, we should at least question it. Because I
can't... Okay, what is the purpose, though? Barbaro, we have just interviewed a journalist who has worked with Barbaro in getting his information out. Okay, Lucas Scantamberlo. And basically, this is a very open, innocent, genuine, honest guy.
But the Jesuit take advantage of a fool like him in 2 minutes. You have to be a little bit awake about this.
Okay,
I'm telling you,
this true of Barbaro as well? Because Barbaro is now out of a job. He cannot get work. Because of this.
Barbaro, by his own assertions, okay, he says, I, in the year 2000, or 2001 actually to be more precise, came into contact with a Jesuit.
Right.
I mean, if I come into contact with a Jesuit, actually, I make a picture, a photo, I put it on the wall, I met a Jesuit, friends, that's it. Check it out, because
supposedly,
whatever comes out of...
Supposedly, he came forward from SIV, he was not supposed to be communicating.
First of all...
It's secret, supposedly. No?
There is no... He called it schegge impazzita, so a rebel of the system within the sieve in the Vatican.
Right.
It doesn't exist, such a thing. Forget it.
But you're a rebel.
No, I'm out. I'm not in.
But you were a rebel you were inside during
at
some point when
Barbaro
you were
says, I went to the office in Rome where he was accredited and where I saw that he was a legitimate source.
Right.
That's it.
You
think if with my revelations now.
Yes.
I can still go in an office so high up or be in that office. I'm doing my revelations, and it's very clear for everyone. Actually, it's clear also for the Jesuits. In fact, the thing is, they arrested me 3 times in Norway. They tortured me, injected me, beaten me up, put in prison cell. They did all kinds of things.
How did you get out?
Thanks God I got out, because the first 2 times I repented that towards the Illuminati system and who was my superiors, and I said, okay, sorry, I'm gonna... not go further.
But here you are, you're not...
No, wait. Then the third time was when I literally came out of the system, or came out of the group, was after June 2006, I told you, prior, because of the involvement that they wanted me to have with my wife's organization. I said, okay, no, I started to accuse them of being themselves a fraud, that their interreligious gatherings, because here we are talking, and my documentation that I will show you, about interreligious gatherings that were organized in monasteries around Italy for the specific purpose of trying to bring closer Islam or the Illuminati with the concept of Islam and be able to have also what happened many centuries ago, a meeting between knighthoods of the East and the West. So basically between the Islamic chivalric orders and
is this bad?
No, this was great. This was all great.
Right.
But the problem was that there was people like Giorgio Balestrieri in it, that they were only involved because they want to make a buck by selling a few weapons and other technology. I didn't know that I was covering up for certain crooks. The moment I realized that this was only crookery done upon me, that I was the victim of these people.
Right.
That, for example,
but
here,
you say you were tortured.
Watch.
Please tell me, how
here,
did you get away?
Here, you have very, it's written here.
Okay, Bill.
For example, on the left side, you have a documentation of a meeting held in Bologna, Villa Leona. Okay, now Villa Leona is the headquarters of the Opus Dei in Bologna. And this was a meeting with the Illuminati, Roberto Negrini, you can see his name very clearly, which is also officially an anti-Christian, a Satanist, but in the Opus Dei headquarters, you know, like Holy Water and Devil, all together in one group. You see the symbols of the Universal Unity of the Monte Carlo Lodge here. And you see clearly the reference and also the name of Carlo Maria Baserga, which is the head there of the Opus Dei and being involved in the business that the Opus Dei did in the port of Genova. Also, recently as last June, this came up in an investigation of the police in Italy. But they have scrubbed off my name out of the phone interception, but I have photos with all those people that I can show you. And my involvement.
Okay, but
also here, watch here. This is another invitation. Now, this was supposed to be the meetings of meetings. This meeting here was supposed to be held in September in the monastery of Santa Scolastica, very important monastery. You can find this monastery on the first scene of Omen 3.
Okay.
The film Omen 3. You can find it, this monastery. This monastery was the last place where Ratzinger talked before becoming Pope. In this monastery, we were supposed to meet with my wife also there, representing her Islamic organization, and with Gabriele Mandelkan, who is a Sufi Gerai Helveti, and with basically with these people. We were also, with the Dr. Aldo Rapicavoli, which is a high-level Freemason, celebrate the Giordano Bruno, which we mentioned before, death, that is written there.
Okay, but you're still telling me that you got away. You're telling me that...
This one in September never happened. It was cancelled because I, in June, walked out of the organization.
I understand, but you said you've been arrested.
Yes.
That you've been harassed.
Yes.
Right? And I'm just asking
what
you...
What happened, for example?
How do you get away from the Illuminati?
Okay. What happened was I needed to get away saving my life. So the only way to get away saving my life was to eventually reveal and keep safely with me this information and reveal it to the appropriate sources so I could defend myself.
Who are the appropriate sources?
People like you, people that came forward.
The general public.
What happened was this. In October, September of 2006... after my kid was born and I recovered from the arrest, which was pretty mind-breaking, and I managed to get out. Why? Because I managed to prove to the authorities here in Norway that what I was saying was true regarding my involvement in certain groups, that they were deliberately trying to attack me, and that there was even a guy, a doctor, involved, a guy called Nikolai de Matos Fritzvold, who is the head of a mental hospital here in Norway, that in reality was related to a general Fritzvold, and also himself a master of the Memphis and Mizraim. I have on my diploma of the Memphis and Mizraim, I have his name written very clearly, and basically we find that this guy is an occultist practicing voodoo act or whatever. You can check on the internet for yourself, Nicola. And he's also a doctor. How can a doctor in a mental hospital be... But what he did was very evil. The moment I didn't agree with him, he lift the phone, go and lock him up.
Uh-huh. Okay, so but you
when
got...
I showed this documentation at the end to the previous sources, the director of the hospital there was a guy who was not the one the year before, who I knew was working with the CIA, but was another guy, and this time he didn't know really what was happening. I could see that he was only put from on top in that situation. I could show my documentation and get out of that situation. So I got out, and I said, how can I save my life? Because, okay, for the moment, they are not arresting me anymore.
Right, right.
I'm going to come out with a website. I'm going to... scan a few things, documents, open a blog. That's happened with Illuminati Confessions at squarespace.com. Squarespace.com was a blog, okay, kind of situation. And after a month, I started to have a lot of problems because they received piles of complaints and of threats to shut down the website. So on the 6th of December 2006, I was shut down. I was shut down. All my information was risking to be lost because I had to work on it. I'm not a genius of the computer. I just scrambled together all these things. But the interest was already born. And thanks God, people had downloaded on the internet had downloaded my material. They managed to retrieve it, to transfer it on the website in Italy of a Freemason, Daniele Dal Bosco. A Freemason, though, that was himself conscient of what they were doing, and he himself said, I want to support you, because I think that you know, he saw the injustices I was subject to also within Freemasonry. He said, you, so he said, okay, Leo, we open Illuminati Confession at web, which is illuminaticonfessions.webfriend.it, which is still in existence, and we go on with your revelations. Not even 24 hours after they shut down my Squarespace account, the police came through the door of my house with two policemen, and two social workers to take my kids. I was living in the center of Oslo at the time. My wife was in the house. They probably thought I was alone, so they broke in. But when they saw that my wife was there, they said, okay, bring it to the other room. We want to bring it to the other room. I said, what? What do you want to do to me? Only because I have a website, you want to arrest me? Am I not free to do what I want? I said, my dear friend, in the last 24 hours I spent my website to Italy. I said, if you now arrest me, kill me, do whatever I want, the website is going to stay alive. It's now on the net. There is no way you can shut it down. Ah, but the police said, if you continue with this website, we can, you know, have your kids taken from you and you have to calm down with this stuff. How dares the police of Norway? And I said once again to the camera and to the people of Norway, shame on you, come to my door, come to my house, threaten me to take my kids because they can't take the truth upon Per Christian Kroch, ex-secretary of the Ministry of Defense, who I saw in open lodge worshipping the Book of the Dead and the Steel of Revealing of Aleister Crowley, dressed in a black cloak. I saw Trond-Kaare Westby, the head of the Defense Command in Norway, in their lodges and also in Masonic lodges where I met him. And this guy is the head of the Defense Command in Norway of the medical staff. I will show you after his
time. So you got away because you went public, is this correct?
I went public and even at
and
the
to
beginning
this day,
they threatened me. At that point, after I said to them, listen, even if you threaten me now, I said openly to the policeman and also my wife went to the social workers because we had to go to the social workers after, otherwise they would take our kids, said very clearly, my husband is not going to stop with what he's doing. He will carry on. If this is a free country, he has to do this and he has to be able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, they couldn't arrest me anymore like before or put me and torture me for hours and do what they, because at that point, I would go immediately on the net as soon as I was out, put everything, and finally I had an audience.
Right.
Obviously, the problem was, who was my audience? The problem was that my audience obviously maybe was not judged as serious by many people because the alternative media sometimes is not judged as serious. Mm-hmm. But for me, at least, it was a mean to spread my information to be able to protect myself. And they took this very seriously. In fact, what happened 2 weeks later, I was invited to Livorno, on 21st of December, to a P2 lodge, in Livorno, I have pictures of that meeting also, by their grandmaster there, asking me, all in a nice, kind way, offering me a nice dinner, to please stop with those revelations.
Oh, really?
But the guy who asked me, Grandmaster Mauro Lazzari and Luigi Piazza, because I refused, they were punished themselves. And in June, this just now, 2007, they were the police raided their headquarters of the Masonic orders in, there is this documentation in Livorno, and it was the biggest scandal since the P2, because it's connected also to the Christian Democratic Party, because their lodge, where I was meeting, where was the headquarters of the Christian Democratic Party, UDC, of Cesa, which is the party close to the Vatican. So obviously you don't need to be a genius to link 1 + 1 = 2, you know, you have a Masonic lodge in the headquarters of the Christian Democratic Party. These people, the Christian Democratic Party, has been working with the NSA, the CIA for 50 years in the Gladio secret operation. These people, Balestieri, Ezio Giunchiglia, these people all belong to Gladio. Gladio is a secret operation against communism that has been very important because 9/11 has been the same kind of operation that the Italians have seen over and over again in the strategic years of tension, we call them, in the 70s, when we had the killings of the station of Bologna, of Piazza Fontana. All these killings were organized by so-called deviant secret services apparatus. Nobody understood ever. It was maybe the Red Brigades, it was the Russians.
Who was it?
It was the Americans and the Vatican. You know, who was it? Doing it on themselves. Gladio was an operation in which.
And so was 9/11 also the Americans and the Vatican?
Absolutely, and the Zionists. And the Zionists, Mossad. The Mossad is very important in this. In fact, sure. And also the...
So is the idea to create a...
They reflect the prophecy, because in the Zohar, at a specific point of the Zohar, is written that in the city of the Big Tower, in the specific date, the 25th day, I think, of Elul, of the Jewish calendar, that was the 11th of September, boom, there will be this disaster, and the tower will fall down. It's written in the Zohar. Zohar, for the Kabbalists, is the most holy text for the Jewish Kabbalists. So, they read, knock their heads on the wall, and reflect what is there. Now, as we have the Mossad, the Zionist element, the Jewish occult element, which is very important because the Kabbalah is born out of them, but born originally where? From Egypt. And
sure.
The same happened with because we don't have to see only Christianity or Catholicism as coming only from Judaism. No, that's very wrong. We have to see Christianity as coming from a mix of pagan religions that the Emperor Constantine put together, including the cult of Isis, of Osiris, of Mithras, of all these...
But this was from Atlantis, was it not?
All originally from Atlantis, but Atlantis and many other Atlantis civilizations before that, because the thing is that we have only knowledge about maybe one ancient civilization before ourselves, but there is many others that have been eliminated, and we know nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Leah, I want to ask you, do the Masons or the Illuminati have ancient texts coming directly from Atlantis? Do they have information about this?
This is the legend that really managed to fraud Hitler, Churchill with this kind of thing, so it's quite interesting. You know, the Book of Thoth or some kind of tablets, ancient tablets that come from Atlantis, were supposed to be hidden in the pyramids, hidden there, hidden... There is definitely stuff that comes from ancient times, and there is specific groups within the Illuminati, like for example the Gruppo di Thebes, Group of Thebes, which is a specific group within the Illuminati which is, takes care only of the ancient artifacts. And the same.
And these must be in the Vatican. They're in the Vatican Library, are they not?
The Vatican Library, and we have a lot of ancient artifacts, ancient books, very rare texts. That could revolutionize the thought of mankind. But as I said, because we will have to go to the next stage of existence, in one way or another, the Vatican wants to adapt. So how they adapt? They adapt with Corrado Balducci and the whole alien revolution coming into the Vatican, Segreto Omega and a couple of UFOs, and everybody's happy. Because the next step of brainwashing is to have you believe that Jesus is some kind of Prince of Sirius, that comes on this planet as a high priest and is himself an alien being or some kind of alien high priest from Sirius. Sirius is very important. We don't have to joke with Sirius. We don't, because Sirius is Sirius in every way. And it says, the word says it. It's in the universal apparatus, the eye of God. So, you know, you have a bunch of sheep, which are
okay,
the stars.
So...
No, watch. Shepherd. And then you have a dog. Now, the dog star is Sirius. It's the
right.
Dog of this... You know, you have a lot of stars running around, but they're sheep. And then you have a shepherd. And you have a shepherd's dog. Yeah? So this is how it works in the universe. Now, we should go back to reacquire in modern times the concept of analogy. Of not logic, but analogy. Why? Because logic is actually created by mankind. It was created by mankind at the time of ancient Greece. And then filtered through our civilization, through to us. But in ancient times, analogic was equally as important. So, by rediscovering the analogic method, mm-hmm. the parallels between the fact that everything in the universe works as a mirror, as a reflection, as a reflection of the one Big Bang, the first and then everything else is a reflection. So there is a constant loop of this reflection in many different forms. Mm-hmm. Infinite loop that goes through the universe, and we find in this cup, we find in this legal apparatus.
Sure, and then everywhere. You're talking about symbolism, and you're talking about the use of symbols is magic.
Yeah,
and again, you're back
magic.
In the circle.
Yeah. But as I said, do we really want, if we want the next stage, then we have to acknowledge the science of God. Okay, no problem. That has to be done, because sooner or later mankind will have to come out of this ignorance. But at the moment, what we are having is just some substitutes, especially in the New Age movement or cults that have been created lately.
Okay, but what about science? And what about the idea that there might be Planet X or some other planet out there? Is this completely a figment of people's imagination based on something that the Illuminati wants to put out there for their purposes of revelation and Armageddon?
From my experience of the whole Zacharias Sitchin, like I mentioned before, from my experience and from what Barbara and then the Secretum Omega and all this information coming out of the alternative media, it's clear that they want to control the alternative media. And they want to control also our own myths. Nibiru, this planet of ancient times, from Sumerian, they call Nibiru in Sumerian times, Planet X, coming back, you know. There where it comes, these Anunnakis have dropped out from this planet in 2 hours and have... there is definitely an ancient time in which we have been merging with other creatures from the universe. This is described clearly in the Book of Enoch. But who were these creatures? These creatures were the rebels that were escaping, the angels, the rebel angels that were escaping from God, in a way. What we have here in this present situation is that we think they are in reality interbreeds between mankind and aliens. And this is the biggest disinfo that we can get.
Okay, if you believe that's disinfo, then let's talk about underground bases. Why do we have underground bases, since you say that in your experience they do exist?
In my experience they do exist. And they do exist also people that are particularly inclined in working those underground bases, because you can experiment bacteriological, nuclear, and all kinds of devices that are not possible to be experimented overground. And also to experiment the most evil of the evil, because mankind nowadays is playing God, playing with genes, playing with mixing a cow with a dog, with a human, with a lion, with a...
This okay, happened. But what about...
we are
okay,
not,
so you're saying genetic engineering, you're saying genetic engineering, you're saying hidden, atom, you know, atomic bombs, whatever, experimentation.
And
but,
also
but why are they building cities underground?
Yeah, yeah. Cities underground are built for the disaster scenario, the doomsday scenario.
Well, is there such a thing?
Is
this a real scenario or is this fake?
From my experience in the Illuminati, the moment in which 2012 was mentioned was either because 2012 was 21st of December, the peculiar date in which a ritual had to start, a Pythagoric ritual, because Freemasons traced their ancestry to Pythagoras as their first...
Pythagoras.
Pythagoras,
yes.
For them, the fact that this 25920 is the number of God and it coincides with the changing of an era has to be celebrated with a ritual that reflects above below. So on the 21st of December you're going to all see them there with their aprons. It's a holy day, it's the winter equinox.
But do we see no cataclysm?
The whole pyramid will be together. For the first time every single cult will be celebrating one way or another this specific day. Because we are moving the whole of our consciousness into a different part of the universe here.
This is a positive vision of the future, isn't it?
I have definitely a positive vision of the future, but I also have another some questions regarding how the so-called Illuminati, the top, really are taking things. Because when it was about 2012, they were really driven by uncertainty, and their tendency was to build an underground bunker to protect their matter interests, than to really grasp that this could be an evolutionary stage to go there.
Of consciousness,
yeah.
Change of consciousness.
For them, it's not,
you don't need an underground base for a change of consciousness.
No, but for them, this is a business operation. You know, I understand. the moment in which there is something happening on top which is uncontrollable, a nuclear device will be triggered, the whole place will be very dangerous, and underground bases are required.
So you're saying
people.
The Illuminati are planning to let loose nuclear bombs around the time of 2012. They are going to unleash them.
There will be some very big happenings, especially because they will be triggered by, unfortunately, some very serious events that might happen around the Olympics of 2012 in England, which seems to be...
In England, but 2012, okay, so what about the 2008, the Olympics in China, you know anything about that?
That is a mind-brainwashing control operation of Chinese. Chinese represent this day the ideal government for the Illuminati, for who wants to do business. Because the Illuminati, including these people here, I've shown the picture before, they all meet up in Shanghai, doing business. One of the rituals, which I'm going to show you a picture after, if I remember, is the ritual of the ancient Chinese tea, which is not a tea, but it's a kind of specific drink that they bring from a little village that it tells you, gives you immortality, but actually gives you a lot of energy. It's like 20 ginseng all together, or like a line of cocaine. It's a specific water they bring from this village, and a specific plant which they make this tea, and everybody was enjoying it in Moscow much more than any drug. And I found this very interesting, and they were doing the classic traditional Chinese tea ritual, you know, that was the... But what is the admiration of the West for the Chinese is especially their absence of any form of democracy, the complete control of their society. For America, being like China is a dream nowadays. Why? Because the American dictators that are implementing now their so-called Patriot Act see in China the ideal place where nobody can actually object to anything. You can't have more than one child. But at the same time, this also gives the Americans and the people at the fake opposition, because America is not a real opposition to China, forget it, they want to make cash with China, they want to make cash with Iran, Iran wants to make cash with America, cash with China, Sudan, who cares, make the cash, couple of Hollywood stars running, they're full. Bullshit! People are idiots, you know, giving money to these idiots and putting them in power, my God, I don't understand. Democracy, the biggest illusion of all time, it doesn't exist, it doesn't exist. And the division between church and state is a fake. It doesn't exist. It's all linked, and...
And it's all run by the Vatican and the Jesuits at the top of the pyramid.
I know, and you forgot to mention also the Zionists, which are very powerful in this whole enclave, which represent the old aristocracy of the, you know, the old Jewish families are the old aristocracy. Why? Because these aristocratic families, like for example the Queen of England, like to trace themselves back to King David. They see themselves, including my family, the Lion family, as descendants either of Jesus or at least of King David. So they seem to be viewing England in general a bit like the lost tribe of Israel. So that's why you have this British Zionism, and also why the aristocracy in England interbreeded so much with the Jews and certain Jewish families. So to create this whole thing, so whereby at the end you don't understand anymore who is in control of anything, because, you know, he's okay. Married with him, and he's married
with
him.
We are running out of time here.
One last thing. Well, you can see when they're giving the Nobel Peace Prizes, especially in Sweden, you have a whole table of leading Zionist Jewish family, then you have the aristocrats. Everything is in order, you know, in this new world order, and has a specific place to it.
Okay, well, thank you, Leo. You're a very brave man. Obviously, you're going up against an incredible opponent. And you...
I think that I'm going up definitely against an incredible opponent, because for certain people, they fall into the trap of becoming victims of it. And this, I think, is happening a bit to the Barbato guy with his Secretum Omega. It's easy to become victim of this whole disinfo operations or of this mind control that is going on for certain projects. For example, there was a guy who was deliberately made give this information regarding the cosmic top secret level of NATO, saying that it had was linked with the recovering of...
You're talking about Robert Dean, the person we interviewed.
Yeah, a guy like him. I didn't know you interviewed him, but I heard about him many times. I think it's the typical example of how you can fall victim of these people. Because at that point, okay, they give you certain information. They know they have given you this. They have showed you certain things. They have showed you just enough. Okay, boom. And then the rest of the life, what you do? You get kicked out of all your jobs. You get to become the victim, obviously. But at the same time, did what you saw and what really you are reporting, is it really true, or is it a cover-up and an operation to cover up other interests by the powers that are there and by the people on top of you that know obviously very well how to mind control people and how to spread this information? We said before, some people call them in another way, aliens, UFOs, so we should, you said, it's only a matter of calling them in different ways. Yes, but by calling them aliens and UFO and by spreading the myth of Roswell and all that, what has happened is just that people, the modern day, the average person out there, watching TV, gets brainwashed by all this rubbish. And at the end of the day, he's not really understanding that there is demons, there is angels, there is God, and if there is an end of time scenario, this is a very serious scenario and should be taken very seriously.
Okay, that's it. Do you have any more?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, say that one more time. And this scenario, say your last line.
And this scenario is definitely very important if we are approaching the end of times and some great changes will be definitely happening. But for them to brainwash you about the aliens and all that, while instead the real intention is to just microchip you and put you in a global network in which you are the prisoner, that is their objective.